Welcome back to Windows Azure Conf. I am Eric Boyd, and I feel like I am a news anchor. I'm getting ready to read you the news or something crazy right now. But we are going to talk about media for the next 45 minutes to an hour or so. But it's not going to be news. I'm not going to tell you about elections or anything crazy like that. We're going to talk about Windows Azure Media Services. So my name is Eric Boyd. I am founder and CEO of a startup consultancy in Chicago. We also have offices in Milwaukee, and our whole focus in life is helping customers build web, mobile, and traditional client apps around Windows Azure and cloud services. I'm also a Windows Azure MVP, and I spend day in, day out in Azure every day, all day. So a little bit about me. There's my contact info, my websites, my company website, my blog, and you can find me on Twitter at Eric D. Boyd as well. We will be taking questions throughout our broadcast, so feel free to send questions in. There should be a little question bar right underneath the video. Feel free to also send in some tweets as well and use the hashtag AzureConf. So we're going to talk about media. Media is an interesting animal, and Windows Azure adds some great services to deal with media and work with media. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the rise of media and why media is a wild animal and why it's challenging. And we're going to talk about Windows Azure Media Services. So we will talk about just kind of an overview of what media services is all about. And then we'll talk about how to build an app. And so we'll build a Windows 8 app, a very simple Windows 8 app, and load up some media from media services. So I'll leave some time at the end for questions, but feel free throughout to send questions in. And if as they come up, I will try to answer them as it makes sense. So as we're talking about media, I thought this was an appropriate photo. This is MTV 1981, kind of the rise of video. So video killed the radio star, all that business. MTV, I think, really drove an adoption of video early on, like long before the internet and that sort of thing was a significant player. Video became a big deal. And so music video was big, and then in about 1999, Victoria's Secret Fashion Show was the first significant online broadcast. It's coming up again soon, December 4th, but it was a massive online broadcast for the first online broadcast of its kind in 1999, so pretty early to the game. And then in 2004, we have the creation of Netflix. Netflix is huge. It's changed the way we think about getting content streamed to our homes. No longer are we dependent upon cable, satellite, that sort of thing. We're getting it over our internet connections via our Xbox 360s. I spend an amazing amount of time on Netflix. My family spends an amazing amount of time on Netflix coming through our Xbox 360. And I have to say, on a completely different side note, the Surface RT is an amazing remote control with Xbox Smart Glass for the Xbox 360 and Netflix. So definitely check that out. So going forward, 2006, Xbox Live. So Xbox Live was around before 2006, but Xbox Live Video, the video marketplace, launched in 2006. And so again, that's changing the way we're consuming video. You can see all the logos, not just Netflix, but Hulu, HBO Go. I use a ton of these services pretty regularly. But we also have audio too. It's not just video. Like, we have media that's audio with things like Last.fm on the Xbox. And so both video and audio media has become a big thing in our world via the internet, services like Xbox Music and Spotify. And then right recently, over the summer, we had a huge event. We had the London Olympics, the 2012 Olympics, where we were getting, in the US, coverage via our traditional media outlets. We were getting broadcasts on TV, but they were delayed, and we could watch things online real time. The Olympics were being broadcast by NBC online, and an amazing amount of video and hours of video were streamed live from the Olympics via online services, media services. So, 35% of internet traffic today is video. By 2015, it's predicted to be 80% of the internet traffic. Like, that's significant. Video is a significant player in our internet consumption today, and going forward, it will continue to be. Having said all of that, we know that it's growing, the popularity of media is huge, but it's challenging. Here's some reasons why it's challenging. Our consumers, our devices are diverse. We have various form factors, different screen sizes, different input methods. We have different scenarios. We have online streaming scenarios. We have disconnected scenarios. We have all sorts of purchase scenarios as well. We have different formats and codecs as well. So it makes it a very challenging problem to solve. 50 million internet connected TVs will be sold this year. So kind of piggybacking on that rise of video and the challenges that we have, the popularity is again growing and making it more and more difficult. Internet connected TVs, 150 million plus video capable cell phones, and then 66 million Xbox consoles have been sold to date. So we have a big diverse collection of devices that we consume video with today. So traditionally, when we're working with media, it looks like this. We have data centers full of disks, because video and audio media are large, they're huge files. So we have data centers just full of drives and network storage and SANs. On top of that, we have servers. We have tons of these things. We definitely want it to be highly available and scalable, so we add more and more of these servers and drives to our data center. And then we have some sort of media management software on top. So we have software that deals with encoding and DRM and all that sort of stuff, streaming, sitting on top of all of this as software, living in these servers. Now the challenge here is that we're building this stuff up. We are investing capital in drives. We're investing capital in servers. We're investing capital in software, bandwidth, all that sort of stuff. We are investing real dollars into to build this infrastructure up. And for small guys like independent developers, myself included, if I wanted to go build a media app today, historically it would be pretty challenging and expensive for me to do so. There's certainly open source tools that I could use to do encoding and that sort of thing, but it would be expensive and time consuming for me to piece all of that together. So here comes the cloud. We take that entire stack of things and we can just move it into the cloud. Now, let's walk down this path for a minute. We could use Windows Azure today, we could use virtual machines, and we could use storage, and we could build this all up on Windows Azure. So we could use Windows Azure storage and blobs to store all the media assets. We could take virtual machines and load up media software and encoding tools, open source even, and install that, and we would get some huge benefits of Azure here. So we would be able to scale, we would pay for consumption, there would be a lot of benefits for us to go this route. But as developers, we don't really want to build up infrastructure and maintain infrastructure. We really want to focus on our apps. We want to focus on our value add. And so what Microsoft has done with Windows Azure Media Services, is taken that entire cloud kind of piece of it and put it in a box for us, if you will. So we now have all of those media services exposed to us via a REST interface. We have .NET SDKs as well. And we can just worry about our apps. We can worry about our devices, the value add that we are actually building, and just connect and consume these services via the RESTful interface, so the .NET SDK. So that takes completely all the labor and cost away from us for building out that infrastructure. We don't have to worry about spinning up virtual machines, installing software. We just consume a RESTful service and move on and focus on our apps. So that's really huge. That's significant in our, as developers, building media apps. So what does that look like? What does Windows Azure Media Services provide? First off, it provides a way for us to kind of hand over our media assets, our raw media assets, to Windows Azure. So ingestion, that kind of process in the workflow, is us being able to provide our raw media assets, the video that we've captured, the audio that we've captured, us being able to send that up to Windows Azure. We can encrypt files. Before we do that, we can do it over HTTPS as well. And there's other options for us, other third parties like Aspera, that will allow us to do faster uploads via UDP. So next, our next important phase in the process is encoding. So we have this raw video. Let's say I shot a video earlier that was MP4, and you'll see that later in the halls here at Azure Conf. A little entertaining. So we have this MP4 video, but I want to distribute this MP4 video as smooth streaming. So IIS smooth streaming, I want to send it out that way. If I just distributed the MP4 video, I could use HTML5 video tags, for example. But when I do that, the client has to download that video. And I instead want to stream that via IIS smooth streaming. So Windows Azure Media Services has a media encoder that allows us to encode that video for IIS smooth streaming just by calling some APIs. So we've uploaded our video. We next say the next step in our process is to encode that video. I want it encoded via IIS smooth streaming. Maybe I want some other formats like WMV. And we can just do that via an API. Maybe in this process, I also want to deal with content protection and DRM and encrypt the sources and that sort of thing. And so that would be the next phase in our process and our workflow. And so we have an option for dealing with content protection and DRM. Next, maybe it's on-demand streaming that we want to provide. We could do things like load our video up on edge nodes via Azure's CDN. So, for example, there are nodes around the world today for Windows Azure that provide content delivery close to consumers. So there are 8 data centers around the world, but there are around 24 content delivery nodes around the world that will put that content close to our users where maybe there isn't a data center. So we could use the CDN support in Windows Azure with media services as well and get those large video files close to our consumers. We could do live streaming. So we could do a live broadcast. It's not available right now in the preview, but it will be coming. And if you have a scenario that's interesting where you need live streaming, there's probably ways that you could make that happen even in preview. And then analytics and advertising. So that's coming as well. This is the plan for media services. Again, media services is in preview, but advertising support is coming as well. So what does that architecture look like? This is what media services looks like at a high level. So there's all of this, that workflow we just talked about is built into media services. So we have a way to ingest content. We have job scheduling. We can create jobs and tasks for media services to handle for our content, doing encoding. There's also places in the pipeline that partners can get involved, and so we could use third-party stuff from partners as well. Maybe we didn't like the encoder that was built into media services and we wanted to use a third-party encoder. We could do that as well. So this is kind of the media services block of the architecture. This is all built on Windows Azure. So that's really important. So we talked about using the Windows Azure CDN network already, but this content that we're uploading gets stored in blob storage. Now, why is that important to us? Well, inherently in Windows Azure, media services gets benefits. So Windows Azure storage gets copied 3 times. Every time you send a file to Windows Azure storage, there are 3 copies of that in Windows Azure. So it provides high availability and fault tolerance for us. Similarly, it has massive scale. Because media services is built on Windows Azure, the nodes can scale up and we don't have to worry about that. Media services provides us a service that we consume, and when media services needs more resources, when it's encoding too much video, that sort of thing, and it needs more resources to provide us appropriate service levels, then it can scale up, and it can scale up on demand. So you're not worried about getting kind of throttled or waiting for your video to be encoded because there's not enough resources, you're stuck in a queue, that sort of thing. We talked about how we consume this. There's REST APIs for all of media services. That's how we consume media services. As a result, we can really work with media services from any platform, any device, because it's all REST and it's all HTTP. There's also .NET SDK built on top as well of the REST API, so we can consume that in a much more friendly way for you if you're a .NET developer. And there's ways for partners to also build add-ons, basically, onto the platform. We could use partner CDNs, for example, in those add-ons, or the Azure CDN as well, to distribute that content out close to the users. And then there's adaptive streaming kits as well for devices. So basically clients and SDKs for dealing with smooth streaming and adaptive streaming. So let's take a look at media services. All right, so I'm in the Windows Azure portal, but first, before we do that, you may or may not see this media services option in the Windows Azure portal. If you don't see media services, the first thing you need to do is go to windowsazure.com. At the very top, you'll see account. If you go to account, you'll see preview features. Media services is in fact in preview, along with a number of other services in Windows Azure. And so if you click on preview features, you will see media services here at the top of the list. You can activate it. I'm already signed up. This button, however, if I was not an active media service account, subscription, then you would be able to click this button and make it active. So again, these are the preview features of Windows Azure. If you haven't already activated the media service preview feature, you should do that. There are also a number of other services like mobile services, virtual machines, and websites that are in this preview features block. And so if you're interested in any of those, this is where you activate those so that you see them in your portal. So inside the Windows Azure Management portal, we have this option that's media services. I've already set up a media service, but it's very simple to do this. It's file. Actually, it's not file. It's the new button in the menu at the bottom. And it's application services and media service. And you see the green preview text here. So you can say quick create. Let's create a media service. And I'll say Azure Conf. I'm sure that's already taken. Oh, wow, it's not. So I now have my Azure Conf media service. I can create a new storage account or use an existing storage account for this service. I'm choosing to create a new storage account. I created it on the West Coast in that data center. These are the data centers we have to choose from. I mentioned there are 8 data centers around the world. These are the ones that we can select media services right now. And then we can create a media service. We do that and it goes out and creates our media service. So you'll see status at the bottom here, creating media service, Azure Conf. So we'll see that complete here soon. All right. So if we drill into the one I've already created, you'll see a dashboard for media services. I can install the media services SDK from here. I can also go drill into the content. So this is the list of content that I have stored in my media services account. From the portal, I can upload a new media services file. So for example, I can upload a video. I'm going to go drill into my assets that I already have, find a video for us, and we will upload a video. Now, I'm going to grab this one first because it's going to air out on us. Now, you'll see I grabbed a video with an MOV extension. And so we got an error that said the file must be one of the following types. So the content that we ingest into media services must originate as an MP4, an MPEG, WMV, AVI. There are a number of formats here, but MOV is not one of those. So this is a video that was taken with an iPhone, and we can't ingest that video into media services. So let's go find another one. Drill into my assets here. And we can grab, let's grab this one, Song and Dance. We're going to name it. So this is our MP4 that we're uploading. I'm giving it a friendly name called Song and Dance, and I'm uploading it. So now we see that I'm uploading media content, song and dance, to media services, my conferences. I'm going to collapse that down. And let's refresh this. So you'll see Song and Dance is there. Now that Song and Dance is there, I can choose to encode that video. And I can say I want to encode that for HTML5 playback, iOS device playback, PC Mac playback via Flash or Silverlight. And when I do that, it will create an output directory with that video. Now, I'm not going to do that. I've already done that. It takes a little bit of time. And so I've already done that for a number of videos. And so we will just go work and explore with those videos. From that point, we can choose to publish it and basically give it a URL that we can get access to. So we've ingested content, we've encoded the content, now we want to publish that content so that we can get access to it via a URL. And you'll see these URLs over here are blob storage URLs. That's the media storage account that I created earlier. And so these down here are smooth streaming URLs. So that's the Windows Azure Media Services Management Portal. So there's a number of things we can do right here, but the API provides us with a number of other options. So let's go take a look at that. First, let me show you, pop up this slide. We've talked about the different APIs and SDKs. There is a REST API that we can get access to. It's an OData 3 API. We can use that from basically any platform, any device. So we have no limitations on what we can get to. As long as we can deal with HTTP, we can use that that API. And so there's a link to that. There's also a .NET library available as well. And so you can get to that via NuGet. It's Windows Azure.Media Services, the NuGet package. Or you can download that from WindowsAzure.com develop. So let's build an app. First, let's look at how we would upload content via the API. So there is a download, a sample app already that's Media Services Getting Started, and I have a link to it at the very end. But it will provide you with a sample of how we can use the .NET API to upload content, to ingest content into Windows Azure Media Services. So the first thing we do is, this is a brand new console app. We added some references to a few things. We are using an OData RESTful API, and so we've added references to Microsoft Data OData. We also added a reference to the Media Services client, and we also added a reference to the Windows Azure Storage client. At the very bottom, we also added a reference to system.spatial. So those are out of the box. When I file a new project, we had system and system.configuration. So everything else we've added in. So we've added all the Microsoft.data references, the Windows Azure references, and that system spatial reference. Now, I have an app config here. I just shared my account key with the world. This app config really has these two items. It has an account name and an account key. I'm going to put that back in here. I also have one other thing in this. I have an assembly binding here to bind the 1.1 SDK, the requests for the 1.1 SDK to the 1.7 SDK for the storage client, because it is looking for 1.1 right now. And I've referenced 1.7. That's what exists in my app config. If we go back over to the portal, that's not it. If we go back over to the portal, you will see in our media service, we have these keys. So there's our account name. And just like our storage accounts in Windows Azure, we have two keys, a primary and a secondary key. And so we can utilize those to access media services and use the API. So back over into our console app, let's walk through what we're doing. So we have, the first thing we do is create a couple of class level private fields. And so we have account key and account name, and that's just pulling those values from our configuration. And those are the values that we got from media services when you click on manage keys. So we pump those in to our code. We create a service context for media services. And then I have a couple of paths. I have a path to our origin assets. This is the video we uploaded just a little bit. So we're going to input that file into media services using this code. And I actually did this a little bit earlier. So it's already out there. So then the next thing we're going to do is, this is our main. This is what's getting loaded up. And so we say, let's create a context, a new cloud media context using those class level private variables, account name and account key. And let's create and upload an asset. So we take the path to the asset that we've created, and we pass that in here. And then we create an encoding job. And we have an output files folder as well, which we specified right here. And we pass in that asset. The last step here is, if we get an ID back out of this, then we download the asset as well from the encoding job. Now, our create and upload asset looks like this. So that's the path to the media. We take the context that we knew upped, and we say assets.create, and we take the path that came into this method, and we say create an asset encrypted and upload for storage, basically. And so we're just writing out some trace messages right here. We're saying, here's the name of the asset, here's the ID, create date, that sort of thing, for when we upload this so we can see it in our console app. And if we go back here, the next step that we do is we create the encoding job. So if we go down to create encoding job, it looks like this. We spin up a job using the media services iJob interface, and we say create my encoding job. We get a media processor. Now, we're using the default Windows Azure media encoder here, but if there were other encoders that we wanted, we could pass in a different name of an encoder. And then we create a task. We say, I want to have an encoding task. And so here's the processor. And I want to encode IIS smooth streaming video. I specify that that media, that asset that I want to encode in this task. And then here is our output asset as well. And then we submit the job. We have a method here that checks job status and outputs that to our console. And then at the very end, we would output the file as well with the URL. So that's our process. We've uploaded it. We've told it, here's a job. We want to encode this media. If we had other things in the pipeline that we wanted to do, we would add more tasks and more jobs. We would say, you know, we want to do some content protection or whatever that was in our pipeline, and we would add that in. So let's see this in action. Let's go ahead and run this. Let's grab a path. And let's say, there's our path, and media services getting started.exe. And you'll see when we run this, it's going to call out to media services using our key. And our account's information. Maybe. There we go. So there's our asset name. And our job has been queued. So I go back over to the portal. There's our new asset that we just uploaded. There's our job that's encoding that video right now for IIS Smooth Streaming. And so this is our processing that's looping over and checking on the job state. And so we'll see output over and over and over again saying it's processing, this is the current state. So there's another response. So we'll leave that running for now. While that's running, I thought I would pop this up. This is, when we talk about the growth of online media and video, this is crazy. 723 million viewers on this video in a viral sort of way. So you need services like Windows Azure when you're dealing with media, because you're not able to accurately predict what might happen in terms of scale. So if your video went viral like Gangnam Style and hit 700 million viewers, I would imagine if you're not using Windows Azure, your infrastructure may collapse with that. So, all right, so that is going. Let's see if what the current state is. It's still processing. So while that's happening, we've built an app now that uploads the video. It will fail, I think, towards the end. I think I have a bug on the output, but that's okay. We'll continue on. But it will get up there and it will do the encoding. The job's already there. So, all right. So now that we have some video, let's build an app. So I built a Windows 8 app. It's very simple. It's called My Conferences. It actually is just really a tweak of the default grid template that's there. So minor tweaks to it, added some logos. There's our Windows Azure Conf today. There's Cloud and Virtualization Live going on in December in Orlando, sunny Orlando. That conference going on in the Midwest next August in the Wisconsin Dells, and Cloud Develop in Columbus, Ohio, August 30th. So these are some conferences that I speak at, go to. Here's one specifically. This is the halls of this conference. This is some video coming out of Windows Azure Media Services. The head of Mike Collier got cut off a little bit. But this is video I shot in the hallway yesterday and uploaded to Media Services and got a IIS Smooth Streaming URL out of that. So that's extremely useful and easy. I shot this video with an iPhone and I converted it over to an MP4 and then sent it up to Windows Azure Media Services to encode as as IIS Smooth Streaming. So nothing special, just the halls of Windows Azure Conf here at Microsoft Building 20. So, all right. So there's our app. So how do we make this happen? Let's go back over to Visual Studio. Stop this. I am not going to get into the details of the app overall. I'm just going to look at our media services piece of it. So the first thing I did was added references to. Well, first I downloaded the Smooth Streaming Client SDK for Windows 8. I added a reference to that in the Visual C++ runtime. The other thing that I had to do was change my configuration. It could not be any CPU. I have to choose the CPU x86, x64. And then I dug into some XAML. So I am a WPF Silverlight guy, and so naturally when I build Windows 8 apps, I am a XAML guy. So what I did was dug into this app, and I pretty simply have some sample code here that just says, here's all those controls on top. There's the stack panel with the text block that includes, the text block that includes the URL for our IIS smooth streaming media, and then all of our buttons that we have. The media comes in very simply via the media element. So I have this media element right here, and that's where our video plays. That's our player. And there's the crash of the console app. So the good news is it's done encoding. The bad news is I have a bug in my code that causes it to crash at the end. But it did encode, and we'll see that in a little bit. So there's the media element. Let's go look at our code and see what I did over here. So I added a bunch of usings here. I have a using for Windows Media. The first thing I did was I registered this byte stream handler. So I have this media extension manager at the top, this class level field variable at the top. And I added the stream handlers for smooth streaming, so ISM, so it knows what to do with that when it sees that extension. From there, I really left that all just default template, and I came down here and I added these events in. So I have a set source that says media element.source equals that URI. From there, the video gets played once that source gets set. Then I also have the media element play and pause buttons here, and then a stop button as well. So very simply, I was able to add a media element, just a little bit of code to deal with autoplay and start and stop and passing in the path of my video. And I am playing that in my Windows 8 app. So now, we know Gangnam Style is extremely popular. I was also in the hallways able to capture a little bit of Gangnam Style, Azure Conf style. So fortunately for this gentleman, the lighting caused it to be a little blurry, but this is what happens at conferences like Windows Azure Conf. And so I'm going to be nice and not disclose the identity of this Gangnam Style dancer. But we are taking this same IIS smooth streaming video and playing it in a browser as well. So I'm looking at it in Chrome right now. I could go pop open an IE window and see it playing as well using IIS smooth streaming. And I can fast forward and reverse and all that sort of stuff as well. So there's real advantages of using media services. Media services today will encode for output. You saw all the video types that we could ingest into media services, but coming out of media services, I can get MP4, smooth streaming, some H.264, some WMV video out. So as a result, today, it's not, I can't get all of the video formats out that I would use using HTML5 and just the native video tag. And so how do I get smooth streaming? Let's go take a look at what I did here. So I new upped an MVC project, very, very simple. I added this smooth streaming player zap. So this is IIS smooth streaming. In a view, I added an object that calls that smooth streaming player zap. I passed in the URI from Azure Media Services to the smooth streaming of that video. And it was really just that simple. And so I'm using the Silverlight smooth streaming player to play that smooth streaming video and load that up via the browsers. And so there's benefits of using IIS smooth streaming even over HTML5. So when HTML5 support comes, there's still some things to think about. One being The adaptive streaming, the smooth streaming that IIS Smooth Streaming provides for us in media services that we don't get with the HTML5 video. So we have to download that video and kind of wait for that to buffer into our clients, and we can't just do smooth streaming like we do with IIS Smooth Streaming. Do you use await async while playing video? So we have a question that is, do you use await async while playing video? In this case, I did not. So I am just in my Windows 8 app, I did not. It's IIS Smooth Streaming, so I'm not waiting for a download. It is streaming it on demand, basically. It's streaming it to my clients. So I did not use any await or async to download the video because we really aren't downloading it. We're buffering it in and streaming it into our clients. So Fast Carpool, good question. Thanks for those. Keep them coming. All right, so that's our app. It was pretty simple. We've exposed that video via a Windows 8 app. We've exposed that video via a web app. We've ingested that video. Now, that same console app that I created, we could have created a way just right inside of our Windows 8 app to deal with ingesting that video. So I could have a Windows 8 app or a Windows Phone app or an iOS app that I would be able to take my video and upload it via the app to media services. In this case, I didn't. I kept it extremely simple. We had that console app that just walked through those steps. So that's the gist of that. All right, so we built an app. So how do I get started? So I walked you through how you can get the preview features. You go to account in windowsazure.com, go to preview features, and activate media services. That's how you get started with media services. But then after that, how do you start building stuff? So the first thing is windowsazure.com develop. How to use media services, the how-to guides are extremely valuable, so I'll just load that up. So this is a great piece of guidance. As you can see, it's rather lengthy via the size of my scroll bar. But this basically walks you through media services, how to use media services, info about the OData API, as well as the .NET SDK. So it kind of walks you through all of media services. So we talked about all of the different options in the workflow, the different steps in the workflow, ingesting, encoding, protecting and using DRM, and streaming, and maybe pushing it out to CDNs. Talks through all of that. And it also has information on clients for smooth streaming. Here is the smooth streaming client for Windows 8. I also have a link to that in the slides. And I will publish these slides on my blog as well. And any follow-up information. But here's a link to the Smooth Streaming Client SDK. So this is what I referenced in my Windows 8 app. So you'll want to get a hold of that if you're building Windows 8 apps. And then it has all sorts of other clients. So the Smooth Streaming Client for Silverlight that we used. And it has all sorts of resources for other devices. A couple of prereqs that are important to note. You do need an Azure SDK on your machine. You will want to grab the Azure Media Services SDK as well, and the WCF Data Services 5 SDK, because again, this is an OData API underneath, and so you'll need that to utilize the API. So then it walks you through creating an app as well. And so you'll definitely want to take a look at this if you're planning on working with media services. This second resource is getting started with the Media Services SDK for .NET. So if we go here, this is MSDN sort of content on windowsazure.com that walks you through getting started with the SDK, the .NET SDK. So it walks you through creating a new project and referencing the assemblies that you need to reference that we talked about, like Microsoft.data, System Spatial, the Azure Storage Client. Walks you through setting up your media services account keys and variables and what have you. Also a very, very useful resource. The Smooth Streaming Client for Windows 8 we already took a look at. And lastly, I want to talk about one more thing here in terms of resources. If you are building Windows 8 apps today, that's awesome. I think there's a huge opportunity for Windows 8 developers today. I have a Surface and I love it. I use it, I mentioned it earlier, I used it, and I use it in my living room basically to control my Xbox 360. So it's a great device. But I do want to plug this resource if you're not already developing Windows 8 apps or if you want to learn more about Windows 8 apps. I am from Chicago. My local evangelist, Clark Sell, and then another evangelist out in Ohio, Jeff Blankenberg, created this 31 Days of Windows 8. So this basically walks you through over 31 days, and we're in the middle of it right now. So we're at day 14. Walks you through a bunch of areas of Windows 8 and how to get started building Windows 8 apps. So if you're new to that, Media Services is a great thing to use in a Windows 8 app. But this is a great resource for learning more about Windows 8. All right. So we have some questions. Is Dynamic Remux available on Azure Media Service so we can get HLS and smooth streaming from MP4 files on the fly? So you can get HLS and smooth streaming from MP4 files. So you can encode your files from an MP4. So I've uploaded an MP4 and I've gotten smooth streams out, and HLS is certainly in there as well. I'm reading questions here. So that streaming guy, thank you. Is there any feature which allows users to interact with the video and eventually send data back to the server? From Daniel. Daniel, I'm not really sure what the question is there. So if you can elaborate on that a little bit more. I know it's probably tough in the short characters that you have, but there's not any features right now for the users to interact with the video, and I'm not sure what data you would want to send back to the server. If it's analytics, so the Media Services again is in preview, and in a previous slide, I'll pop it up real quickly. I can show you some things that are in the plans. So the live streaming feature and the analytics and advertising features are in the plans, and so that may be coming if that's what you're looking for. Fast Carpool, do you have any samples, hands-on labs using live P2P video calls with Azure Media Services? I am not following that 100%, but there are great amount of samples, sample code in WindowsAzure.com. So I pointed you to a couple of resources that I think are really good. I don't believe there's anything in the Windows Azure training kit at this point for Media Services. But if there's not, there likely will be going forward because that training kit is amazing. So if you haven't checked out the Windows Azure training kit, you should. I don't believe, again, there's anything for Media Services there right now, but there's a wealth of Azure stuff in the training kit as well. WindowsAzure.com has some great resources for Media Services. Thanks, Fast Carpool. Is Dolby Digital Plus audio supported on Azure for both encoding and streaming? So that's streaming guy. Thank you for that question. Let's look at encoding Windows Azure Media Services. There is a, I don't know right off the top of my head what is supported, but there is a URL here that has all of the supported. It's in WindowsAzure.com under Media Services References Supported File Types for Media Services. This is basically all of, so AC3 Dolby Digital is supported for ingest video. The outbound formats are also listed in here. So these are the export formats that are available, it looks like it is available. AC3 Dolby Digital is available for ingest if that's what you're looking for. All right. A question from Jeff. If I need a certain Windows Azure code sample, where can I request the sample from Microsoft? So Jeff, that is a great question. I don't think there's anything like that exists. in terms of just being able to request a code sample. But I would provide feedback around the Windows Azure Training Kit. If there's something that's missing in the Windows Azure Training Kit, and I'll pull that up as well because this is an extremely valuable resource. A new release of the Windows Azure Training Kit came out today. So if you search for Windows Azure Training Kit, you'll end up here. This has a wealth of code samples, hands-on labs, presentations, that sort of thing in the Windows Azure Training Kit. So as far as where would you request code samples, I don't know that there is a way to do that, but that's a great question. I'm sure all the Microsoft guys that are sitting around watching this will have some feedback for that. So, Crystal, interacting with video, perhaps this may have been the question. In Camtasia, for instance, we can put a hotspot in the video. Will hotspots be supported? If so, we can branch. Thanks. I don't know, Crystal. I will take that offline. And I know we have probably a Twitter account or something like that for us to get back with you, but I'll take that offline and get an answer for you. So take note of that, Corey. And streaming guy, is composite manifest rough cut editing supported on Azure services? I am not sure, but again, we will take that offline and get you an answer as well. The questions are coming in at a good rate. Thanks for all of those questions. I'm answering them as best I can. Media Services is relatively new and still in preview, and so yeah, we can take them offline with other folks if we don't have answers. I feel like a news anchor in here, so loads of fun. Any other questions? I'm waiting for them to roll in a little bit. Well, while we're waiting, we should watch this one again. This is what really happens in the hallways of conferences. That is amazing. I hope that dancer is watching and yes, watching. All right. It doesn't look like there's any other questions. So I want to thank everyone for joining Windows Azure Conf today. I'll flip back to my contact info. Feel free to ping me on Twitter if you have questions. Hit my blog. You can find an email address there to contact me if you have any other questions, and I'd be happy to answer them as best I can, or put you in contact with the right folks who can answer them if I can't. So thank you for joining Windows Azure Conf today. There's more sessions. I think there's one more session after this one. And all of the content today will be available online within about 24 hours. So if you missed a session, there's another awesome session going on right now with Magnus in the studio next to me. So if you missed a session and you want to see more of them, you can watch them on demand probably tomorrow. So Crystal has one more question here. So will we be able to offer users a choice of quality? Corey, can you flash that one back up? I think the gist of the question was, will we be able to offer users a choice of quality? And so smooth streaming, the smooth stream will deal with that adaptively. It determines kind of what your client is capable of so that it isn't buffering. But you can certainly encode the video. I'll flip back over to, let me see, where is that? Task presets. So when I look at my options for conversion, I'm looking for a list here. And I don't see the list that I'm looking for, but there are options for us to specify exactly, maybe this is it. There we go. Specify exactly the quality. So Crystal, you'll see in this list I have things like H.264, 1080p, 720p, that sort of thing. So there are options for us to specify that quality. On the smooth streaming side as well. So yeah, there are options for you to drive the quality, but when you are smooth streaming as a client, then it will deal with that adaptively and figure out what it can send you for optimal kind of viewing. So thanks, Crystal. David Smith, so for Jeff's question, Microsoft's all-in-one code framework has a free sample request service for customer. So that's cool, David. I did not know that exists, but David Smith is saying, so Jeff, you can do a sample request in Microsoft's all-in-one code framework. I'm not sure. I don't think there are Windows Azure samples there. Maybe there are, but there's an avenue for you to explore to do a sample request. Thanks, David. Any other questions coming in before I wind this thing down? So one more question. Can we start with a good quality and later let the system determine what kind of quality of smooth streaming required? So you can certainly encode whatever quality you want. And if you have the assets, you can upload the assets into Azure and you can encode multiple kind of versions of that. And so you certainly can. You don't have to make the decision necessarily. You don't have to make it right the first time. You can adapt that over time. So G, thanks for that question. All right, I'm getting the cutoff signs. So thanks everyone again for joining Windows Azure Conf. And there will be another session right after mine. And again, you can watch all of these online on demand. So thank you. Mm-hmm.